Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi, I'm Rena Ninen, and this is Ask Lisa, the Psychology of Parenting podcast. It's a podcast to help parents better understand their kids. Dr. Lisa DeMoor, a psychologist with 3 decades of experience and the author of 3 New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. Both of us are moms ourselves, and we're eager to hear from you. So send us your questions to Ask Lisa at drlisademoor.com. And you can join our community by following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The handle is Ask Lisa Podcast. And also subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel, Ask Lisa Podcast. Episode 161, How Do I Get My Teen to Want to Spend More Time with Me? All right, hearing back from a lot of parents about last week's episode on birth control. Boy, you know what still remains with me is the statistics you used in that episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We know a lot. I mean, we are tracking the data and we can use the data to make, you know, kind of good decisions as families. And, you know, we can also use them to inform policy. But I'm always so glad when we could just defer to the science. Yeah, you know, we don't have to make it up. We don't have to like feel our way in the dark.
Nope.
We know things.
Yeah. You're always great with the science. I want to read you this letter because this is something, Lisa, that parents all struggle with. Many of them, I think, struggle with is wanting to savor every moment that your child has, but your kid is starting to pull away and not wanting to do it. Here's the letter. Hello, Dr. Lisa. I've been really enjoying your show. I know that in order to sustain a relationship during the bad times, you need to nurture it during the good times of your life. I'm having a difficult time getting any time allotted to spend with my 15-year-old son, other than when I drive him to school, friend visits, or soccer. I want to put time in the bank that we can draw on later during discipline challenges, but he refuses to spend time with me or our family of 4. We have family dinners daily, and prior to the teen years, we spent most weekends enjoying nature together on hikes, nature center visits, bike rides, etc. Any of those activities only happen now if it's a forced family outing. I still have an 11-year-old daughter, and she too is starting to refuse time together. My husband and I both offer up movies at our house, in the theater, coffee shop visits, sport games, but these are also refused. After telling my son I miss spending time with him and asking if there were 15 minutes in his day that we could set aside and hang out together, his answer was, well, quote, dinner. Sadly, our dinners are about 15 minutes with the kids, and then they rush off for some device time. How do you go about getting family time to strengthen or keep your bond when it only happens if your teens are forced against their will? Thanks so much. Ooh, forced against your will is not a great position to be in, Lisa.
You are right, Rena. That is actually not going to work. It's not going to work the way we want it to work, though I totally, totally deeply empathize with where this parent is coming from. You know, and you are walking right into this phase.
Yeah,
and one of the like weird, bitter ironies of it is, and this is my experience, they become so much more interesting. Like, you know, I'm obsessed with teenagers. It's my whole life. And so one of the things that's so hard is like just when they're becoming, at least in my view, wildly more interesting, they're also like do not hang out with me. Do not ask me so many questions.
Yeah, yeah. But I've got to ask you, Lisa, is this normal for a 15-year-old?
100%.
Okay.
100%. Like, I just—
You feel a little better.
100%. Like, I want you to hear. I want the letter writer to hear. I want everyone to hear. This letter is as beautiful and accurate description of typical and expectable adolescent development as one could ever hope to hear, right? Like, the kid is pleasant, decent. They used to spend a whole lot of time together. Now the kid's trying to get out of it. And the kid's like, lady, you got dinner. That's what I got for you right now. So at 15, this kid is right on time.
Yeah. And by the way, can I say, I was just talking to Chef in town about this, that family dinners are just not a thing as they used to be when I was growing up. Like, you just all had to sit down and eat. So kudos. They are getting dinner time together. But what do you make of this? I mean, is it also normal for the 11-year-old sister to be like, you know what? I'm not really into family time either, right?
Actually, if he doesn't have to be here, why do I have to be here? 100% normal for 11. And, you know, I feel like, Rena, if we ever took out like Ask Lisa podcast billboards on highways, I think one of them would be like, hey, everybody, adolescence begins around 10 or 11, right? Not 13 like everybody thinks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 11, it is very typical. In fact, more expectable than not, the kids are going to be like, I don't want to talk so much. I want to go in my room and close my door. I don't want to answer so many questions. 11 is also right on time for kids pulling away, becoming more private.
So how should a parent know when you should worry that your kid is isolated, doesn't want to hang out with you? Like, when is the moment to worry?
When is it time to worry? Okay, so given that I'm like saying, yep, 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 all of this is typical and expectable, I would worry if it's not just that the kid is becoming remote from you. We fully expect that. And I actually want to sort of think more about like why, like what's the why there? What I worry about is as they loosen ties to us, which is their job, they should be strengthening ties to other people. So what we worry about is if they are loosening ties to everyone. So what we expect to see is that 11 and 15-year-olds are getting into their friends, you know, that spending time with their friends becomes more central in their agenda than spending time with their families. And they also have more strong connections with adults outside the home, right? And one of my favorite, very typical and perfect description of this kind of thing is where the parent goes for parent-teacher conferences and the teachers are like, your kid is terrific. She is a chatterbox. Like, oh my God, he is so much fun. He tells us, and the parent's like, wait, my kid? Like, are we talking about the same kid? That is typical and healthy and expectable development in teenagers.
My mother-in-law used to say she always liked to do the carpool at this age because, like, you don't say a word and all this stuff comes out. And you know what? I'm at that age now where I'm doing the carpool. And so the moms don't realize. I'm like, yeah, I'll take that carpool. Yeah, I'll take that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a window because they start to talk.
They do. And if you keep your mouth shut, just be a good, quiet chauffeur, and they're with their friends, you'll hear everything. It is actually sort of amazing how unguarded kids get if the parent keeps their mouth closed or the caregiver does. Like, do that. But it's interesting, Rena, also in this letter, what I would say back to this parent is, first of all, none of this is personal. And I think that's but a
re- it can feel very personal,
Lisa. It feels
Lisa.
Personal. And in this letter, you can feel the sense of like, I want this and he's pushing me away. But I want, if I had to come up with like a title for a book about parenting teenagers, it would be, it's not personal. It's not personal.
Good one.
It's not personal.
Yeah.
But it feels personal because you're so invested in this kid and you like them so much. So number one, it's not personal. Number two, there are a lot of beautiful like nooks and crannies in this letter of like ways in which the kid is still with the parent. But the parent, I think, could give it more weight. So there's the description of driving the boy to and from school. And something's mentioned about like friend time, maybe when friends are over, or soccer games. That's time together. And a lot of what I think happens that goes wrong in these moments is that we as parents have our idea that time together is we chat intimately for 15 minutes. Whereas for teenagers, time together is we drive and you let me pick the music and we're quiet together. Teenagers often really value that. And so what I would say to this parent is two things. It's not personal. And also put more weight on the togetherness, and I'm going to use finger quotes, togetherness of the times that don't feel as connected to you as they actually may feel to your kid.
Lisa, on the other side of this break, I want to ask you if you can really force family time. And I also want to ask you, how do you lay the foundation so eventually they really do want to hang out with you, even if it's for 10 minutes, that they need you and they want you? Because that's what I sometimes struggle with. Will they still need me and want me? Well, you're listening to Ask Lisa, The Psychology of Parenting.
I'm all for healthy habits, but I don't trust quick fixes. This is why I love Daily Harvest. They take all of the work out of eating well, and all I have to do is enjoy. Daily Harvest makes it so easy for me to eat in the nutritious and delicious ways that I like. They take the planning, the prep, the cleanup out of cooking, and they deliver meals that are packed with vegetables and fruits straight to my door. The other thing I love about them is that it's not the same old boring meals. I love their dragon fruit and lime smoothie. I also love their butternut squash and rosemary soup. They also have this wonderful herb squash and asparagus risotto. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/asklisa to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/asklisa for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/asklisa.
So I'm really starting to feel it in my mid-40s, just how much stress, hormone fluctuation, and the lack of sleep can really affect the way your skin looks, from dry skin to dark spots and acne. This is why I love OneSkin. They can really help. They've got a simple skincare routine that tackles skin issues at the cellular level. I love that this is an all-women team of scientists. OneSkin's developed a proprietary peptide called OS1 that's scientifically validated to actually improve the health of your skin beneath the surface. No irritation, no complicated multi-step routine. It's so simple. I really have felt the difference in how my face looks after using this product. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company by focusing on the cellular aspect of aging. OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. So get started today. Try it out with 15% off using the code ASKLISA at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code ASKLISA. And after your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them the Ask Lisa podcast sent you.
Earth Breeze Eco Sheets look just like a dryer sheet, but instead of being a dryer sheet, they're in fact an ultra-concentrated liquidless laundry detergent. It's really the best of all worlds. Earth Breeze is tough on stains and odors while being kind to the planet and to your skin. Personally, I get a huge kick out of using Earth Breeze. I love the fact that it takes up less space, is better for the environment, and yet it leaves my clothes smelling so good and it gets them so clean. Here's the bottom line. Making a positive impact in the world doesn't have to come at a cost to you. My clothes are clean, they smell great, and I feel like I actually did something good, not just for my laundry, but also for the earth. Right now, my listeners can receive 40% off Earth Breeze just by going to earthbreeze.com/asklisa. That's earthbreeze.com/asklisa to cut out single-use plastic in your laundry room and claim 40% off your subscription. earthbreeze.com/asklisa.
Welcome back to Ask Lisa, The Psychology of Parenting. We're talking about trying to get more family time with your teen when they really don't want to hang out. Lisa, before I ask you about whether you can force the family time, why are they doing this? Because it does feel painful and personal, even though you know it's a part of life, I guess, right?
This is the key question, because I think that when you can see why the kid has to do it, that does help with realizing how not personal this is. Okay. Here is why, Raina. And if you think about this, it's kind of stunning. The job of teenagers is to become independent, right? To go from living with us to being able to live on their own. There's no real runway for this, right? They live under our roofs until, you know, let's say the kid goes to college, until we take them to college. Like, it's a very abrupt, you know, like from being with us, cared for, you know, we know everything about them to them being out on their own, it's very abrupt. So the way kids ready themselves for that kind of independence is they start to develop a psychological distance at home in advance of a physical distance that's to come. And so if you think about it, Raina, like if you're supposed to become an independent person, well, your parent knows what you ate, where you are, you know, you're sleeping under the same roof. The only way you can really do that is to become more private, to want more time to yourself, to set up some distance. And that's why it's not personal. The kid's getting ready to go, and the only way they can get ready to go is if they sort of loosen ties, become more private. And what I'll tell you is that, yes.
Sorry, I'm laughing because this reminds me of my girlfriend Preeti, you know, who's her family is Indian, and she was getting engaged and she wanted to make sure that her husband, her future husband, proposed to her alone, away from everybody else, like not a big family engagement with a formal Hindu ceremony of some sort. You know, she didn't want any of that. And the dad, in exasperation, goes, "I don't understand what you do in private, you can do in public with us." Like, you know, he was just dumbfounded that this like joining of two Indian families yes. together would the first stage would be done in secret as him getting down on Wendy and surprising her.
It's, I mean, this is exactly it. Like, we come at it from totally different perspectives, right? The parent is like, "You're still here. Let's savor every moment. Why must you be so private?" And the kid's like, "I'm trying to get ready to go. Could you please get out of my business," right? And it's the same moment viewed from two different perspectives. And I just, like, this is what I love about our work, is that, like, there's no bad guys in this story. Everybody's doing the best they can, but everybody comes at it with a different need, right? And we have to sort of lay out all the needs. Okay, Rena, I have really good news. I have really good news. There's an arc to this. And this family is right at the beginning of that arc of kids needing to establish their privacy and their independence. Once they do that, they can often be quite a bit more close and forthcoming. So, like, you know, I have a daughter who's a sophomore in college. Mm-hmm. And when she was home over the winter break, we lost power for 36 hours.
What?
It was bad. And it was so cold, Raina. It was so cold. By the time the power came back on, we could see our breath in the house. It was not good. Okay, the four of us had so much fun in those 36 hours, right? And it's because my 20-year-old, having fully established her independence, she lives in another city, had no problem in that small interval being in front of the fire with us. We went over to my office, downloaded a movie, brought it back on a computer, watched a movie together as a family, because she had established her independence. So the other thing I will say to parents in this is something that has to happen, but it's a chapter in a long book of how you're going to relate to your kids. You're in the "we need to be independent while living at home" chapter. If you play it right, that chapter can be followed by a "I feel independent and now we can be friends again" chapter.
So that could come potentially. So how do I lay that groundwork, Lisa, of them? Okay, I get it. There's going to be a moment where they're not going to want to hang out. Their friends are going to be more important. But what do I do to lay that groundwork so when they need something, they're coming back, I think we talked about this in one season about putting sort of money in the bank, banking this so that when it feels painful, I know that this might not be the end of how things are going to shape up.
So what I will tell you, you may be surprised what my advice is, but I'm going to back it up. The way that you actually keep the communication channels open, even when you're getting very little from the kid, is do not hold a grudge. Okay, no grudge holding. And I will tell you, this for me in some ways has been the hardest part of raising a teenager. And I'll tell you what this looks like. What this looks like is you see your kid and you're like, "Hey, how are you?" And they're like, right? And they sort of shut it down. They give you nothing, or they give you a little bit of they ice you out. It hurts. It feels bad, right? It feels personal. You can nurse that. You can have this sense of like, why do they treat me like this? And where do they go? And why can't they be better? And I do so many good things for them. I mean, like, you can really go with it. 10 minutes later, they're like, "Hey," and they want to talk about something. Or, "Hey, can you take me over to do this?" If you are still nursing that grudge, you're going to miss it out. You're not going to be able to make that nice connection. So don't let kids abuse you. You know, nobody gets to abuse anybody. You know how they say, like, goldfish only have memories for what happened in the last 3 seconds? There's a place for that in parenting teenagers, right? The kid may have left you on an icy note. You may feel bad about it. If the kid comes back to you and they're acting normal or even kind, goldfish it. Three, you don't remember what happened before. You just start where they are. I think where parents make an unforced error here is they're still upset about the last interaction. And so when the kid is warmed up, they miss it.
It's hard to let go. It's hard to be a goldfish.
It's hard to be a goldfish. It's hard to be a goldfish.
your panther who's about to like leap at your young because
an injured panther.
Injured panther is exactly right. The worst kind of panther.
Yeah.
Can you force this time, Lisa? Like, right? You know, they're 15. There's maybe a couple more good years left before they're fully out and flying out.
I'd say a little bit. Okay, here's what I would say. I think you can have expectations like dinner. I think dinner is a really important expectation to have, and we actually have research on this. We have research showing that families who have dinner more nights a week than not. So it doesn't have to be like, you know, every single night, like military style, everybody's sitting at the table. It can be more nights a week than not. We do see improved outcomes for their teenagers, that their teenagers are safer and thrive more. So there is reason to say dinner's a done deal. You got to come be with us. And this family's already doing that. Okay. Now, Rena, what is tricky, and I remember going back to this research when my older daughter was in this phase, I was like, how can this be working? Because like, it's so fast. They answer no questions.
That's right.
It's super unpleasant. Like, how on earth can this possibly be conferring these good outcomes given that dinner is like really not that fun? I mean, like scarfing move, right? And so then I thought it through and I was like, okay, when we think about what makes a difference in family life for kids and outcomes, it's two things. We've talked about this, warmth and structure. And saying dinner's happening and you're going to be there, right? I'm forcing dinner more nights a week than not, is first of all, that is some structure, right? Like you are saying, this is a routinized thing. We're going to make time for it. We're going to protect it. And it's also a warmth, which is, I don't care if you are very, very quiet at dinner. I want to be with you anyway. I want to be in your presence and we can sit and just eat quietly together. But I love you so much that I just want to lay eyes on you for 15 minutes. And so what I would say is like, go out, like that's worth forcing, right? Because we have those reasons. You could then extend that. You could push your luck. You can be like, and also on 2 Fridays a month, we will be having a family evening. You all get to pick the movie. You all get to pick the activity. But the fact that we're having a family evening is a non-negotiable. Okay, warmth and structure. See how much you can get. But if it starts to feel like really unpleasant once you get past those basics, maybe look for ways in which the kids are making time available that you may not have savored as much as one had before.
So don't push it. When you feel like you hit the gas pedal a little too much, back away,
That's it. Be cool. Right. Like try to be cool. Right. And I think it's funny. You talk about a panther. What's making me think about like, we want to be in a state of readiness to connect when they want to connect, right? I'm thinking about a panther like waiting for the prey that is the 15-year-old.
Right.
Sort of like quietly lurking in the bushes, you know, which in my house would be like quietly cleaning the kitchen. And then if they come through and they're like, oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened at soccer practice. You're like, talk to me. Like the panther is suddenly present.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. But we have to allow for the fact that they are doing their job, and their job involves pulling away while living at home. It's not a forever thing, and go ahead and force dinner.
Is there anything else, Lisa, you think the parents might want to keep in mind and try?
I do wonder about what else the kids are into and what else the kids like. And I think what's hard is sometimes they like stuff that as parents, you're just like, that's so boring or so not interesting to me, right? There were TV shows and movies that my, you know, kids will watch that I'm like, I really don't want to watch this. But I have found that if I come in and I'm like, hey, can I watch? They're like very happy to have you sit there as long as you do not say a word. And that's together time. That's together time. So I think, again, opening up the possibilities for what being together looks like is something else that adults can do in these settings that makes a big difference to teens.
You gave us some advice on the wounded panther parent. Is there anything else that you want parents to know? Because when you want that really badly with your child and you know that the time feels very limited, even though they're going to be back, you know, when they leave, what's your advice on sustaining yourself when it really is painful?
Here's what I will say, Rena. It's imperative that anyone who is parenting teenagers has other sources of self-esteem and other people to talk to. If you go into raising a teenager and your sense of feeling like a good or connected person hinges on how your kid treats you, this is not going to go well.
Probably right.
You really need, right? So like, I have my work. I love my work. I have my colleagues. I love my colleagues. You know, people have their friends. People have their work or volunteer or religious pursuits, whatever you got. But my number one piece of advice on this one is, by the time you have a teenager, you're going to need other aspects of your life that help you to feel good and connected, because you cannot count on teenagers for this.
Mm. Things to mull on, that when the pain is so heavy, I felt that in this mom's letter, because I think about it all the time, even though we're not fully in that stage, but you see them peeling away and the looks they give you of what you can and can't say sometimes now.
Yeah, it's painful. And it's lonely.
It's lonely.
And it's important to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for people to know that it's not just their house, that this is what happens in other homes, even if it feels strange and unexpected in yours.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, parenting can feel so lonely and you don't realize other people are experiencing the same thing, just not vocalizing it in the way you feel the pain.
That's exactly right. Mm. That's exactly right.
So what do you have for us, Lisa, for parenting to go?
Serena, you know, I wrote Untangled for a reason. And the reason I wrote Untangled is parenting teenagers does feel so personal. And so the structure of Untangled is 7 tasks that teenagers have to work their way through. Parting with childhood, finding a new pack, harnessing emotions, contending with adult authority, planning for the future, entering the romantic world, and caring for themselves. And those are the chapter titles. And the goal in laying it out that way was to try to help parents see that adolescence was not something their kid was doing to them. Adolescence is a very, very demanding and complex time in development. And parents get pulled in ways they don't see. They get pushed out in ways they don't see. But if we can stand back and see that the kid is at work on a big project, it's all easier to take.
At work on a big project. That is sort of what they're doing. You're right.
It's what they're doing.
You're absolutely right. All right, Lisa, thank you so much. And I just want to say, next week, we're going to have a slightly heavier topic. We're going to talk about fentanyl and what parents need to know about the situation with fentanyl. I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.